This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stage, yeah. Aren't you?
Oh, shit. Hi.
It's a little bit threatening, isn't it?
This is tight. We're kind of here because I have a big mouth and said shit.
Georgia has some stuff to say to you guys.
I think I was like being complimentary when I said. But fuck, man, we made up for it, I think. By being here, I mean.
I mean, here's the thing. For us, we're having a private conversation.
Yeah.
We're just very slowly catching on to the fact that you guys listen to it after we record it.
Yeah. It's and not that, just like we're trying to make Steven laugh.
Yeah.
We're trying to make each other laugh. And then, oh, shit.
And then we're trying to offend the country.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
It's very easy to do, it turns out.
Who knew?
All you have to do is mispronounce some cities and tell some people they're dicks, and then, oh no, suddenly you're there.
There you are.
Hi, hello. You're there to make up for it with entertainment. Look at this gorgeous room.
This is beautiful.
Fucking nuts, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
When we were in Portland, we were in an old, like, high school, and it totally felt like we were, like, the principals giving everyone a lecture about bullying.
Yeah.
It was cool.
This feels like we're the ushers at a very fancy movie theater.
Yes!
Where people are very excited to look at the screen. I could kick someone in the forehead right now. I'm sorry that that's the first thing I really want to do. Just a quick...
It'd be funny, though.
It would kind of be funny.
I went in the bathroom, and the moment I walked in, I said out loud to myself, oh, this is haunted. Like, the bathroom was like, it was like a Japanese horror movie bathroom.
Yes.
I was like, this is fucking haunted.
Was it because there was that little girl with the wet hair in the corner?
Yeah, that was it.
She's like, do you need a paper towel?
And then she was like, I'm Elisa Lam.
Oh,
and
no.
Then I lost my mind.
Could you imagine if Elisa Lam was actually just here in Indianapolis chilling?
This whole time.
We're like, Elisa, there's a lot of people who have been wondering about you.
Ugh,
that's not funny at all.
No.
Oh, it's a bummer.
Hey, let's talk about presents, because that's a positive.
Oh, you guys. Okay, here's the thing. And this is what's beautiful about having fans like you guys is you'll tweet us or social media somehow and say, if we have a present, how do we get it to you? And we don't answer you because we can't tell you secrets like that. But it doesn't matter because you get them to us anyway.
Figure it out.
It's very hard day's night.
Yeah.
People getting on to some kind of thing and putting a towel over it and sneaking back. I don't know. I'm not sure how you did it.
We're adults and we can buy our own shit, but when we see a fucking present, we both lose our mind. What is it? What is it? And then we pull out the card and we start crying and then we think and then we put the earrings in.
Okay, we're wearing your earrings, silver in the city.
So,
Oh.
Thank you. I hate earrings, and I put these in because they're so adorable, and cats, and I love them.
Seems like a lot of people work at Silver in the city. It's not like your Walmart out here.
Oh, so many earrings.
Take them off. And then we got, and then...
Gorgeous, thank you.
Look at this cat mug. These are from, but I don't remember.
I know. Then it's this part. This is lame.
The Weatherholt cousins gave me this fucking Siamese
cat. The Weatherholt girls came together, I'm assuming they're girls.
They used to hate each other, and then they bonded over murder, and they got me a Siamese mug. That's my new, it's totally my new stage mug until I leave it at home. Like,
I
next
love it.
Trip, for sure. And then they gave you, oh shit.
They gave me, so this is pretty funny. So Georgia opens that. Well, I was kind of opening everything. Let's be honest. Sure. I'm a bit domineering. And so I was pulling shit out, and then just I would decide if it was for her or not. So we're like, yeah, undeniably, this is Georgia's cat travel mug. And then the next thing came up, and we'd read the card that said,
enjoy coffee and music.
And music. Yeah. And so I opened this little box, and it's a keychain holder, like a key holder. And
like
I
was a leather like, keychain.
Thanks a lot. But then we're like thinking, me and George and Vince are kind of standing there, and we're just like, there's got to be more to it. And there fucking was. Because you unsnap, it was like a little triangle-shaped leather thing. You unsnap it, and inside was a beautiful silver guitar pick that had SSDGM engraved on it. I started crying.
It's true. We had to redo our makeup.
We had to bring the whole team from MAC back in.
That makes me think, because I want to mention like how many messages and emails we get whenever we're touring of like really sweet girls being like, I'm a makeup artist or I'm a hairdresser and I would love to do your makeup and hair for the, you know, and it's like such a sweet offer and I fucking love getting my hair and makeup done.
We want it so bad.
But you don't understand until like 5:59, is that a time?
Yes.
We're freaking the fuck out and getting ready and finishing our murders.
Typing, there's a lot of typing at 5:59.
This is it. Whenever we get asked, like, how much research goes into, you know, how much time do you spend on each one? And it's like, no, we're not like that. We didn't finish college. We're terrible at homework.
We care and we love
we
research.
Do.
We love yeah. it and we care about it.
We do.
And also we save it till the very end. We save it. We push it right into our blowout time.
Yep.
And right into our... we could have had such gorgeous eyeshadows.
Flowing
and,
locks.
I mean, we would have been two... We would have been Kendall and the other one Kardashian. But no, we're fucking trying to do our book report the night before. Every single time it's like that.
Uh-huh. So thank you for the offers. But
yeah,
it's not gonna...
I mean, look, we're living high on the hog.
We're professionals.
Gifts, offers, and we're just scraping through like feral children. I would like to point this out. So as you know, we talk about our fancy outfits that we like to get for the tour. We like to really dress it up for you as much as possible. Mm-hmm. This dress I got last night, again, last minute, and I saw it. And I was like, magic. It's all coming together for me. It's one of those dresses that has a built-in slip.
Oh, yeah.
Which then turns into a puzzle when you're putting it on. Ladies, back me up. I can't believe I made it into this dress, is what I'm saying.
God.
There was like 7 different ways you could do it. And it's also sewn on, because at one point I was going to rip the fucking thing out. I was just like, get rid of the slip then. I don't give a shit.
Do you ever do the thing when you try to put a dress? I hate the extra step of putting a dress on, basically under a dress. So I'll do like a slip. So I'll do the thing where like they're together, and I'll try to put them on at once, and it takes 4 times as long to get it on because you're just like, no, I'm gonna do this. Beat the system.
A lot of that. No. Also, you guys seem to have a lot of static electricity here. Quite a bit. Is that one of your outputs? Whatever you call it. Is that how you make money around here? Is fucking up my hair real good?
Oh my God, does the city run on it?
My dress is permanently stuck. It's like my dress is scared and is grabbing my leg. Usually I like a little more flow around this area.
Yeah.
Looks like I just came out of a pond.
Like a Japanese horror movie. That sounds like a plot. I meant to put heels on before we came out. Forgot. Anyway.
Are those your show slippers?
Yeah.
They're very cute.
Yeah, they are. Now I'm just so... Because one time you were like, those shoes you have on look like those socks you put on under shoes. on stage, she said that. And now I'm like terrified that that's what these always look like. But there's some shit going on with
them. I think I meant it as a compliment.
Oh.
Who knows the way when things come
I'm
out of here.
I'm fine with it.
I mean, look, who am I to say anything? I'm wearing high-heeled clogs right now. I'm wearing boot clogs with what now turn out, now that the lights are on me, to be a navy.
Oh, shit.
What? It did not look like that in the store. I'm trying to be fancy.
It looks cool.
They won't let me be fancy.
It looks like you did it on purpose.
I have heels that are like that high, and every single time when I go to leave my hotel room, I'm like getting ready, of course, rushed, little typing over here, blow drying over here, run, and then I look and there's like shoe choices and I'm like, fuck you, yeah. I'm putting you on it. Yeah. I do it every time.
No, I'm sure this was a subconscious thing that I did when I was like, nope, vintage heels, vintage black heels can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
These are gross. Indianapolis, you guys just charmed the shit out of me today. When near my hotel, there's a soup store. Can I tell you this?
And what, a soup store?
Yeah. And you know, I love stupid, not stupid, but puns in general.
Sure.
It's called Supremacy. What? I cannot stop laughing about that. I made Vince write it down backstage and I just looked at it and just started cracking up.
Supremacy seems Supremacy. Like it could be slightly problematic yeah. in this day and age.
Yeah. It went through my head.
White bean supremacy. Stop it. Stop it.
Well, when I was a kid, my first record store, I didn't realize till I was grown up and I went, oh, that's not good, was called Vinyl Solution.
Oh. No.
I did it. My 14-year-old brain wasn't like, they don't want you here, Georgia.
Yeah. The little Jewish girls yeah. walking in. I like punk rock.
Yeah. They're like, we don't like you. No. That's pretty fucking clever.
How could you not like me? I have little pigtails.
I'm baby Georgia.
Wow.
You're...
Yeah, I flew Southwest, so I'm a little bit bummed out. I'm going to say it. Why not just say it to you? If anybody's going to understand, it's you guys. It was just me and all these, as Vince said, just a lot of Steve Bannon-looking
yeah.
motherfuckers. You know what I mean? When you're on Southwest, you're like, it's not like that on Alaska for some reason. But you get on Southwest, and you're just like,
Man, leather attaché cases abound. And like, they're fucking purses, dude. You're not yeah. fucking fooling anyone.
That's just a big square purse.
Should we sit down?
Yeah, let's sit down.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
This is the part where it gets really official.
Yeah.
Ooh. This is a nice chair.
Who's she? It's like a conference chair.
This is a high class. You should see some of the chairs that we sit in on these shows. I swear to God. It's like a guy came up real quick right before the show and was just like, da-da-da-da-da-da. But this is like, Tony Robbins ordered these a couple years ago and left them behind. Thank you.
Oh my God, am I sitting on Tony Robbins' butt? That is so amazing. There's
someone else that loves to say fuck.
Does he?
He really does.
Oh, yeah, he screams it in people's faces.
Yeah, right? He's all about it. He thinks it's very freeing.
Travel mug. With
travel. What does it taste like?
Water. I've had too much caffeine at this point in my life. Yeah. Right now, today, now. Sugar-free Red Bull, everyone. That's
get
my secret.
Into it.
Okay. Okay, but supremacy. Kills me.
You give your order, and then they make the receipt into a circle, and you slip it on like an armband.
Oh, you just keep going back to that.
You know what? If this was on Saturday Night Live, it would be fine. But right now, it just feels very risky.
Can I tell you about my pizza place in my neighborhood when I was a kid? Maybe this started it all. It's called Sergeant Pepperoni's.
Jesus Christ.
I just appreciate it.
You've loved it since you were a child.
Well,
everything in my town was just like grocery store. Our grocery store is called Food City. Like you didn't have to have an imagination of any kind. You were just like, yep, it's a bunch of food in there. We're gonna get some for ourselves. We'll come back later and get more.
I fucking love that.
Food City.
Can we tell them about our murder, like my murder? And the snafu. It's Steven's fault.
Like, it's everything totally Steven's fault. Shout out to Steven.
I mean, I could make this about. It's totally his fault.
Yeah. So as you know, we don't tell each other the stories, the crimes that we're going to talk about right now. We don't tell them beforehand.
It's not faked, you
it's
guys.
Genuinely it's a surprise we're not acting.
Surprise.
So last night, I didn't check in or even think about telling Steven who. So Steven's the middleman. We both tell Steven who
poor
we're
guy.
Doing, and then if there is any overlap, he lets the second person know,
right.
Basically.
Which there hasn't been thus far.
Never has been.
Never. Like, am I cool doing so and so? And he's like, you're good.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, last night, I think I checked in with Steven around 1:30 a.m. because I was like, well, here's the thing. Here's my person, and also, can you find me pictures? And I was less checking and more bossing, of course. And he was like, "Ooh, we've got some overlap." And I was like, "What the?" So I'd already worked on one. I'd already worked on it. I'd actually, and this is why I don't work on things. The seventh grader in me says, "This is why I don't try."
Yeah. So now you know my guy, then.
I know your guy.
It's the best one.
And then I had to put my own together real fast. And this is a true story. When I got to my hotel room finally, I sat down. I was like, okay, I'd on the plane with my two businessmen on either side of me. We're all doing our business. Me typing about murder, them, stocks, bonds, whatnot,
boring.
I assume.
Ours is so much better.
They could have both been poets. Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, so are we, kind of.
That's very true. So what I did was I just like, because you can never, please never believe that you can actually get the internet on a plane. That's such a fucking lie.
It's true.
Southwest is like Wi-Fi here and Wi-Fi there. And I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I doubt it. Mm-hmm. And so I just cut and pasted like 30 pages from Murderpedia about my person. And then I put it in a document. So on the plane, I was just bolding the areas that I wanted to talk about. And what a gorgeous document it was, everybody. What an amazing amount of work I can do when I apply myself. Well,
I mean, when you work on your murder, mine is like a fucking mess of like different sizes of font and different fonts and like blacked out and then read it out.
Yes.
It's just such a mess.
It always like Verdana always comes up as a choice. So it's like, who's typing in Verdana font? Do you hate your eyes? Oh, it's awful looking. Anyway, Go With Times. It's a classic. So
I use Georgia.
I always. Obviously. Do you?
Every fucking, it's so.
Is that true, Georgia?
I've never admitted that.
That's for you, Indianapolis. Yes. Inside secrets.
I mean, it's cute. It's fine. It's just like a little, just go, you know?
Dude, I would fucking, if there was a Karen and it looked like weird twigs, I'd be my whole document. I wouldn't be like, it's gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be one day.
Someday. That's the dream, to get a font. So anyhow, I sit down to do my thing where I'm going to take my bold things that I worked on hard on the plane and put them on my brand new document. I titled them both the same thing. So when it came up and said, there's already a document that's this, do you want to replace? Oh, I said yes. And so instead of having pages and pages of bolded information, I had two paragraphs that were like, anyway, everybody. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh,
and
honey.
It was 5:15 p.m., hadn't showered yet, emergency situation.
And here we are now.
And here we go.
So we're going to take an hour break, and we'll be right back.
And you, if guys, anybody wants to email us some ideas. No.
Hold tight.
Not true.
Who's first?
It might be me.
You're right. Yes.
I think it is.
Yes.
From just yesterday. Isn't that weird?
That's yesterday.
Or no, today.
Tuesday.
What?
It came out today.
It's today.
It came out today. We recorded on Tuesday. And right, I don't remember any of it. We're already getting, like, a couple of, like, put quotes in, and I'm like, I don't remember talking about pinching penises. Like, what the fuck?
It's all a blur.
Yeah. I probably said that, because that sounds like something I would say.
Oh, except for... Yeah, okay, fine. Cherry Hill is in New Jersey. I don't know if you guys caught that part, but I did. One of my murder took place in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and the entire time I said it was Cherry Hill, Pennsylvania. I must have said it. I'm from California. We don't have states that close. So if you're talking, if you're talking about going to Philadelphia, it's like, well, you must be in Pennsylvania. There's no other way.
I don't. I'm already lost.
Of what I'm saying right
now. So your whole murder was in the wrong state?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Uh-huh.
I thought you just, like, mentioned this other city once.
No.
Nope. Oh, fuck.
No, I was like, the Cherry Hill Mall in Pennsylvania. I was like, I was acting like that guy that does the Mark Twain show, where I was just like, listen up, gather round, everybody, and let me tell you about Cherry Hill, Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, how many people are in the state of New Jersey, and how many people listen to our podcast? Because we just lost all of those listeners.
Well, did we lose them, or now do they have something to fight about, which is their favorite fucking thing in the world to do? New Jersey's like, I'm sorry, but...
I thought you meant people who listen to the podcast, their favorite thing to do is fight. You meant people in New Jersey. I get it.
New Jersey. Yeah. Okay. Subset.
Okay. Yeah. They're probably going to just listen to hear more mistakes and correct us on them, probably. Because we make a couple mistakes.
Listen, and you know what happens? And cut to, we're in New Jersey, right? I mean, you guys know, if anybody knows, it's Indianapolis.
It's true.
We fuck up, then we show up.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, should we do this?
Let's. Oh, this is my favorite murder. That's Karen.
Hi. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We needed to get a big third cheer going before the reading starts.
Pump you guys up. You know?
Well, I went, if I couldn't do Georgia's, then I had to go to number two, who I didn't, the only reason I didn't pick her is because she's an oldie. She's like a vintage one.
You like old timey.
I do love an oldie, but I'd done a couple recently, so I thought I was going to update and try to be more current. Nope, I got slapped back down by fate. And here I am.
I swooped in hard on that guy. Right.
You had to.
Like, this guy's the worst thing I've ever read about in my fucking life.
He's pretty fucking awful. Oh. But so is our girl, Belle Gunness. Right,
yeah.
Everybody? You know her, right?
Uh-huh. Horrible.
God, she loved to kill people and burn things down. Is that a local thing, or was that just her taste? Because she really loved to burn. Mm. She was what they call a firebug. All right. Some of her nicknames were Lady Bluebeard.
Oh, that's got to be sad. Like, make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, that's gonna get you to the tweezers and the magnifying mirror real quick. Why did they call me that? I shave every day. The Laporte Black Widow. Right, Laporte? The Mistress of Murder Farm.
Oh, that's fun.
That actually seems like a British procedural.
Yes!
That I would watch.
Dude, does.
The Mistress of Murder Farm.
Oh.
Welcome, Axe. Okay. And Hell's Bell.
That's cool.
That seems more like a...
It's like a roller derby name.
Totally is.
Yeah.
Also, there's a really great female AC/DC cover band called Hell's Bells.
Oh, that's
unbelievable.
Kicky.
It's amazing.
I love it.
All right. Anyway, Belle Sorensen Gunness was born November 11th, 1859. She was from Norway. She left there in 1881 at the age of 21 to move to Chicago like her sister did. So they emigrated to America. She became a servant, and she worked as a servant for a couple years. And then she married her first husband, Mads Sorensen, 3 years later in 1884. Mads? Is it Mads? Does it... The Norwegians have the name M-A-D-S.
Mads? Mads?
It's Mads, that's right.
Let's do Mads.
Okay.
Mads
is just kind of a hilarious name. All right, anyway. The two of them marry, and they open a candy store.
Aww.
And how fucked up do you have to be to have an unsuccessful candy store? Because they did it. They sucked at candy. How do you do it?
They sold, like, what's a gross flavor of...
Only, like, those buttons on paper. It's just, like, buttons... They called their candy store Buttons on Paper.
Just one giant roll of buttons on paper. Kids kept getting smashed by it every time they tried to get one.
They're just cutting weird pieces out randomly.
That's not
I don't
hope.
Like the store. All right, so... Since their candy store fails, it... strangely burned down almost a year later after they opened it.
Oh,
that's a burning cool. candy.
Mm.
Smell it. So Belle and Mads collected their insurance on that business and they bought a new home. And then they had two biological children, Myrtle in 1897 and Lucy in 1899.
Those are cute. When is Myrtle going to come back?
It can't. It's that you will immediately be called a turtle. Grammar school, please think these things through. You have to go through the rhyming of the children's names.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to attack you.
I'm having a fucking kid. I don't care.
They also had a foster child named Jenny Olson. They also had two other biological children that did not survive infancy.
Mm.
And both of them were diagnosed to have had extreme colitis, which has the same symptoms as strychnine poisoning. But they're babies, and this is a family, and so the doctors were like, oop. They have extreme colitis, everybody.
Bye.
Interestingly, I mean... both of those children's lives were insured.
Shit, as you do, insure your baby all
I
the
mean,
time.
I mean, a tiny
in
baby.
19, in 18 fucking whatever the shit.
It's yeah. like, that baby was going to be the most amazing, like, stick and stick and hoop baby.
A stick and hoop baby.
Look at that arm. Insure that arm. I was going to call it stick and circle. God, Jesus.
I love
Jesus.
It.
All right. So then on July 30th, 1900, Mads died. He also had some colitis-like problems.
Runs in the family.
Yeah. That weird poisoning runs in this family. And interestingly, he died on July 30th, which was the only day his two life insurance policies overlapped.
Magic. Oh.
Wow.
That's asking for trouble.
Lucky, lucky, lucky. So the Sorensen's family doctor had been treating him, Mads, for an enlarged heart. And so the first doctor was like, this is absolutely strychnine poisoning. And then the family doctor was like, no, 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 no. Sit down, young lady. He died of heart failure. And so she applies for insurance money the day after the funeral, as you do. And she gets $8,500, which is a little over $200,000 in today's money.
Not for another candy store, probably. Right?
No, 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 no. She learned her candy lesson.
Okay.
So she uses the money to purchase a 42-acre farm in LaPorte, Indiana. At the end, it scared the shit out of me.
We were going to have to come back. Here.
I mean, we were about to leave and come back out. The second apology tour. Damn. This is so much harder than it looks. Okay. LaPorte, Indiana, at the end of McClung Road. Everybody talks about
what
McClung
if someone
Road.
Someone lived there.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love McClung Road. So she moves in, and then it's reported that soon after, both the boat and carriage houses burn down. So maybe that's just what she did to get used to living in a place. You know what I mean?
It's like, doesn't feel like me yet.
I don't know. I want to warm it up somehow.
Yeah.
I want to...
Literally warm it up.
Also, I just wrote here... very randomly, reports say that she was 6 feet tall and 200 pounds.
Now, no way. No
I,
way.
I think that this is that's like a Paul Bunyan thing of like, I think she was so horrifying that people are like, and she's not over 6 feet tall. It turned into one of those things.
Which was tall back then because everyone was like, no one got higher than 5'4".
Everyone was like, my bones, my rickets. She's like, I'm doing great. I'm from Norway, and I'll kill you for no reason. All right. So, as she's getting ready to... She buys the farm in LaPorte. She's getting ready to move from Chicago to LaPorte. She becomes reacquainted with a recent widower named Peter Gunnis, who also is from Norway. She had that kind of, you know, local Norway hookup. And... So they get married in LaPorte on April 1st, 1902. A week after the ceremony, Peter's infant daughter died of uncertain causes while alone in the house with Belle.
Oh.
Yeah. Then in December of 1902, Peter himself met with a quote-unquote tragic accident. According to Belle, he was reaching for his slippers next to the kitchen stove.
Oh.
Already there's too many nouns in this. Like... when you have to lie, and we always do, just kind of keep the nouns to a mins. You don't need slippers in this story at all. He was just near the stove like he always is.
Kitchen doesn't even need, like, it's a given that the stove is in the kitchen.
That's right. Don't specify what we already know.
Yeah.
And...
Take notes, you guys, for when you fucking kill your...
That's right.
People.
This whole thing's going to turn on us so fucking hard. But it'll be fun until then.
so many presents until then.
He's reaching for his slippers next to the kitchen stove when he's scalded with brine.
Ooh.
Brine. Again. She later declared that, in fact, part of a sausage grinding machine had fell from a high shelf and hit him on the head.
Those pesky sausage machines.
Is this kitchen like Pee Wee Herman's? Like, what is happening, Belle? Then that anvil came from across the room. Okay. So a year later, Peter's brother, Gust...
is that right?
I should have read this over. Gust of wind. He came down. He takes Peter's older daughter, Swanhilda.
Wow.
When's Swanhilda coming back, everybody?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. When's that one coming back?
When are you going to hear that yelled across McDonald's play place? Swanhilda. No.
Don't lick that.
Basically.
It's always licking.
Get away from the brine, Swanhilda. Swanhilda's uncle Peter's brother comes, Gust, comes down, gets her, and gets her out. He's like,
gusting
sorry.
In? He and he grabs her and gusts it?
That's right.
Come on.
Supremacy.
Sorry. Sorry. Go on.
No, no. Never apologize.
Try not to.
So she gets out. The uncle's like, something's going on.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Get the one remaining living child of a once flourishing family. Oh,
good
so,
for him.
Yeah. So the coroner reviews his case, his death, and announces unequivocally, I'm not sure, that he was murdered. And his stepdaughter, Jenny, his daughter, is overheard at school saying, my mama killed my papa. She's hit him with a meat cleaver and he died. Just on the swings, chilling, fucking juice box, kids.
Don't lick that.
So... just in the candy store. So she's brought before the coroner's jury. So the coroner does have an inquest because he's like, this is incredibly suspicious. And when they try to talk to her about it, she denies ever having said anything. And then Belle convinces the coroner that she's absolutely innocent and she didn't do anything. He believes her.
Does he marry her?
He does not marry her. But then I'm thinking, if she really was 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, she must have been an amazing, like, presence to be able to, like, be like, oh, no, no, I didn't kill him. Goodbye. Like, can you imagine this kind of, like, a giantess just being, like, murdering and then being like, but don't blame me. Goodbye.
Has to duck through the door on the way out, but it's like, but...
Bye. Everyone drops. Okay, this is taking too long. Yeah. So, Belle tells neighbors soon after, she explains, Jenny's gone off to finishing school. Never good.
Finished.
Yeah, that's right. So Belle runs her farm from 1903 to 1906, and in 1907 she hires a farmhand named Ray Lamphere. I think we do have a picture of Ray Lamphere. He's got a mustache.
Nope.
She also had a mustache. You weren't wrong. But that was Belle.
Nope. That's a good one, though.
That's the farm. We just keep going through.
Yeah. There's,
what if there's like 90 pictures? It'd be like, and there's me. There's Summer in the... There's Ray Lamphere.
He looks chill.
He looks like 70% of the bartenders in Los Angeles. So,
oh.
No, I don't want to come see your improv team. Thank you. Ooh.
Oh, just the look in his eye is so dead.
Belle, let me help you with your farm.
I got this.
I need to help you. So that guy, and also could we just really quick, could we go back to the picture of Belle herself just to see what why everyone is so in love? There she is.
That's her?
Yeah.
Oh, she's pretty.
She's not.
Am I wrong?
What's that?
Is she pretty?
She pretty.
She pretty. Even I'm like, oh, maybe she didn't do it.
You know what, you guys? I think she's innocent.
I feel like, look at her.
I mean, she does have a hat face, and that's, I can't say the same thing.
I mean, the ruffles, she really, you know, she's got a napkin bib in her fucking...
And clearly, just a huge, long rack. Her rack goes... Instead of being like this, 50s style, straight down, farm style.
Yeah. We all know that that means you're a hard worker.
Yeah.
Marry her. Right?
Yeah. You got to. There wasn't a lot of foundation garments back then. You just had to, gravity took its toll. Mm. Anyhow. So Ray Lamphere shows up with the fire in his eyes and the... insane mustache, and he is immediately in love with her.
Okay.
So he'll do anything she asks. All right. So this is that's what's happening, the feel around the farm. And at the same time, Belle Gunness puts an advertisement in the newspaper, in all the Chicago daily papers, and in, I guess, some of the Norwegian papers. And this is it's basically kind of like a personal ad. And hers reads, personal. Comely widow who owns a large farm in one of the finest districts in LaPorte County, Indiana, desires to make the acquaintance of a gentleman equally well provided with view of joining fortunes. No replies by letter considered unless sender is willing to follow answer with personal visit. Triflers need not apply.
Hey.
I don't want no scrubs.
Yeah.
Did it in a bachelor side of the
best friend. It's best friend's farm.
Trying to burn down a horse.
Burn down a horse.
She tried to burn that horse. Triflers need not apply is our next shirt.
Oh my God.
Shit.
Steven, get on that.
Steven, do it now. I mean, right?
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, she murders children. Yes, she murders children and adults.
Yes. But.
But also, triflers need not apply.
No,
they simply needn't.
They needn't.
Okay. So now there's a stream of, like, middle-aged, mostly Norwegian male suitors that are coming to the farm, bringing a lot of them are just clearing out their bank accounts. They're selling their houses. They're cashing it all in and bringing their money to this woman that, oftentimes she would be exchanging letters, with them, and they were like kind of, you know, lovish letters. Oh.
My dearest mother, blah, 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 right?
Yes, that how they go? That's it exactly.
I don't know how to write.
<Do-do-do-do-do-do.
laughs> I'm not a poet.
So Ray Lamphere is getting really jealous because these men are showing up and they're not leaving in the bad way. So she fires him on February 3rd, 1908.
Uh-oh.
And shortly after, she presents herself at the LaPorte courthouse and declares that Ray Lamphere was not in his right mind and was a menace to the public. And she actually ends up convincing local authorities to hold a sanity hearing against him.
Ouch.
He's pronounced sane and released. Phew. Gunness is back a few days later to complain to the sheriff that Lamphere had visited her farm and argued with her, and that she contended he posed a threat to her family. He posed a threat to her family. She's killed everyone in her family. Everybody. And she has Lamphere arrested for trespassing.
Wow.
Then she tells a lawyer in LaPorte that she fears for her life and the lives of her children. She said that Ray Lamphere threatened to kill her and burn her house down.
Oh.
Huh. Three fingers pointing back at her. It's the classic. So she makes out a will in case he goes through with it. And then she leaves her entire estate to her children and leaves. And then she pays off her mortgage. And she doesn't go to the police to tell them about Lamphere's behavior. She's just telling this lawyer. Uh-huh. And then she hires a guy named Joe Maxson, to replace Lamphere in February. And in the early hours of April 28th, 1908, he wakes to the smell of smoke in his room. And he's on the second floor of the house, and he opens the door, his bedroom door, to a sheet of flames. he's screaming Belle's name, the children's names. He doesn't hear anything. So he runs out the door in his underwear. He leaps from a second story window.
Oh,
he barely survives the fire. He races to town to get help. But by the time they come, the hook and ladder, old fashioned fire truck comes back. The whole farmhouse is gutted in a heap of smoking ruins. And that's that picture of all the people standing around. That's what's left. And In there, they find the bodies.
No.
Yeah, there's four bodies. Three children's bodies. The children are all in their beds.
Oh.
And then one of a grown woman, but she doesn't have a head. Uh-huh. So they're like, oh, this is terrible. The house burned down and the Gunnesses all died inside of it. Mm-hmm. Well, the doctors measure the remains and making allowances for the missing neck and head. Jeez. Who wrote that? Obviously, they're not going to measure an invisible neck and head. So they say that the corpse is a woman who stood 5'3" and weighed no more than 150 pounds.
Mm-mm.
Their neighbors said that Belle was probably 5'9", but she did weigh, like, you know, 180, 200 pounds, whatever. So they actually had a dressmaker that was in Chicago that they contacted who had her exact measurements, brought them back, and this body was not Belle Gunness in the fire.
That's police work, man.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, in turn of the century police work. Let's get positive. But they do find Belle's dentures in the ashes. And so because of that, the police can't, they're like, well, this then is her.
Yeah.
Like they did everything else is like, nah, you know, I mean, we heard she was 5'8", but
yeah.
It's the teeth that really prove it.
Mm-hmm. The teeth that didn't stay in her mouth most of the time.
The teeth that mostly were in a glass.
Remove from your face.
They were in a glass at the top of where her neck was. It's inappropriate. All right. Now, one of her earliest victims, so I will read you this list of people who did show up at this farm thinking that they were in love with a woman and they're going to live the rest of their life on a beautiful farm with her and who never left. One of them had a brother who, when his brother never came back and he never heard from him again, he showed up at the farm and Belle was like, oh, he never came here. And he, the whole time, was like, this woman's dirty. I don't like it. There's something about it. So he went, after this fire, he went to the sheriff and was like, you have got to investigate this. This woman's insane. So Sheriff Smutzer was the man's name. the Smutzers. He takes a dozen men back to the farm. They begin to dig. And on May 3rd, 1908, they unearth the body of Jenny Olson, the stepdaughter.
Oh.
They also found small bodies of two unidentified children.
Oh.
And subsequently, the body of Andrew Helgelian, who his brother was the one, Azel? Nah, probably not. was the one who was making, they find his body. And then as they begin digging, they just keep finding bodies. And so these are the bodies they found. Ole B. Bunsberg of Iola, Wisconsin. Oh. Did you hate him? Did I pronounce it wrong?
I'm like, what? Good luck with this.
It's going to get worse. I mean, there's just a fucking shitload of Scandinavian names I'm not going to be able to pronounce. Thomas Lindbo, Henry Gerlholt. They find his watch in the ground. Olaf Svennerhud. This is
they're
like
all a, dead.
This what is like
sorry. That was.
This is also like a Betty White's character on Golden Girls, where I'm just like, oh, you mean when Olaf Svennerhud went down to the farm and never came back? John Moe, he was there too. Olaf Lindblom. I mean, it's insane. It goes on and on. And she ended up, they think that she killed over 40 people.
What?
Men, women, and children.
Holy moly.
And this is my favorite part of it. There's lots of people there, like unnamed, or somebody would like came by. There's, you know, it's bad. And they actually didn't dig the whole farm at the time. They found kind of the bodies that they knew proved that she really was a killer,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't actually excavate the entire farm.
Really?
So they know of 40, but they think there could be tons more because she had many, many hundreds of acres to
can
bury
we go
body.
There right
Should
now?
We go there now?
Oh my God, I'm dying to.
Does anybody have a shovel?
That'd be so much fun.
But she's gone. She's disappeared.
Yeah.
So Nobody ever, there's lots of sightings of her, and there's people who are like, there's detectives who think they see her in Mexico City and New York City and all over the place, but no one ever actually finds her.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oh. And then, but in 1931, a woman whose name was Esther Carlson was arrested in Los Angeles for poisoning August Lindstrom for money. And two people who had known Belle Guinness claimed to recognize her from the photographs, but the identification was never proved, and Esther Carlson died in jail while awaiting trial.
Whoa.
And that is the story of Belle Guinness, everybody.
Yeah. Man, that's good. Never found her.
They never found her. She got away with it.
She
got away with it.
She probably did more, right?
Yeah. Well, she, you mean in between? Yes. Oh, yeah. Now she's good at it.
Totally.
What if, or what if she didn't? What if she stopped murdering? She's like, I'm going to get this candy thing right.
And then she became Mrs.
Haribo.
Thank you.
Come on.
Needed that.
Right?
I was going to say Buttersworth, but that's not candy.
That's pancakes.
I know.
That's breakfast candy.
Yeah.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com. Goodbye.
All right, you fucking sickos. You ready for this one? Because this one's fucked up. I bet you guys know what it is already. Herb Baumeister.
Gotta be.
Screw that. Herb Baumeister. There we go.
Herb Baumeister.
Fucking Herb. Born.
Can I say that one really quick?
Yes.
There is a picture. when you Google Herb Baumeister and you Google images, it's hilarious. I mean, whatever. But there's one picture, and it's the cover of a book someone wrote. Uh-huh. It's that mask, that skin mask.
Yeah,
thing.
What is that?
What is that?
I don't know. It comes up and it's terrifying.
It comes up and I click off of it really fast, but then sometimes I wait like 3 seconds and then I click off it really fast.
I don't have it.
It's such a bummer.
What if I was
That's
like,
on
Steven.
You guys. That's your time.
Steven, leave it up the whole time.
It looks like anything you've seen in Ed Gein school, except for that it's melting on purpose to fuck with you. It's
I don't
so
think
upsetting.
That's, it could be. I don't think that's his.
You don't think he made it?
I don't know. I don't know if he did that.
Was it just a piece of art?
Probably. Unrelated. You know how
how stuff gets in there and all of a sudden you're like, Hulk Hogan, come on, I'm trying to look up a murder.
One of the first photos that comes up when you Google my name, not that I do it every night or anything, is a Miley Cyrus photo. I don't know why.
You lucky.
I know. It's not a good one.
her tongue is in.
Yeah. Okay. April 7th, 1947, Herb Baumeister is born in suburban Westfield near Indianapolis. His childhood's normal, but his adolescence, he begins exhibiting antisocial behavior. Acquaintances later recall him playing with dead animals and urinating on a teacher's desk.
Oh!
Like, was he standing on it, peeing down? Or was he just, like, up in the air and it was like a waterfall?
From his desk?
Yeah.
Because then that's not antisocial. It's like the coolest guy in class.
Yeah. That's, like, very social.
Yeah.
I have so many questions about that.
Yeah.
A friend says he would say strange things like wonders what it would be like to taste human urine. Not interested. And he had a fascination with dead animals. As a teenager, he's diagnosed with schizophrenia, but he doesn't receive further psychiatric treatment, which seems so hard to believe because, anyway, he was successful in a lot of ways. So I don't know if that's okay.
Like he could afford doctors and stuff, you mean?
No, that he was schizophrenic at all.
Oh, he went on to, like, have normal jobs
and
stuff. Got it.
Yeah, like, unmedicated. Okay, as an adult, he started to
exhibit... successful murderer.
That seems like a hard thing to be.
Yeah.
As an adult, he starts to exhibit increasingly bizarre behavior, but, of course, someone still marries him.
Always.
I have a photo. I think there's a photo of the two of them together.
The Baumeister family?
let's look at him for...
There they are.
Right. Steven, you did not put these in order. Steven, you didn't put these in the order I didn't tell you to put them in. Never told you about. That one works. I think there's one more behind it. Yeah, there we go.
That's right. He put a ring on that crazy motherfucker.
And he's like, I'm going to kill a lot of people.
I'll buy you a ring.
Little does she know. He marries Julie Sater in 1971, and they have 3 fucking children. Although Julie later admits that she and Herb had sex only 6 times in the 25 years they were married.
Ah.
So you can go back to the one of the family. There we go. Look at those kids are like, oh, fuck.
So it's just 6 times. So it was 2 for the kids.
3 for the kids.
Three kids,
each
sorry.
Time took 2 tries.
And that was it.
That's it. That's all you get, Julie.
And then there's a piece of tape down the middle of the bed. You stay on your side.
Yes. But actually, she said she never saw him nude. That he would get dressed in the bathroom, put pajamas on in the bathroom before coming to bed. He was ashamed of his skinny body. But also a fucking psychopath. So
yeah.
It's not just, like a lot of people are skinny.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are, you know, that's kind of the dream for some. A lot of people are, like, flaunting that shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Making money at it.
He has a bunch of weird jobs, but his behavior is always weird and creepy, including urinating on his boss's desk.
Wait. He was like, it's me, the urinating on the desk guy.
Kind of his thing. Again, standing on the floor and pissing up or standing on the desk. Because it's kind of like funny if he was standing on the desk going, you know, but if he's on the ground, it's like, oh.
Or was the desk in the bathroom and it's not his fault?
Fair.
Let's be fair.
Good question.
Fairness.
What if in the bathroom after this, there's just a, I walk to, in to pee and there's just a desk in the bathroom? It's haunted.
Someone's like, Georgia, I'm glad you came in to see me today.
Oh.
This is your yearly review.
Never saw him nude. He was skinny, weird job, peed on a desk. Then he founds a thrift store chain in Indianapolis in 1988 called Save-A-Lot.
Save-A-Lot sucks.
Did you guys know that you used to buy your fucking vintage shit at the fucking murderer's shop?
It was all covered in pee. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't normally do pee and poo jokes.
What if your like childhood bunk bed was from Save-A-Lot? Oh, bad memories all of a sudden.
Your mom, you keep getting blamed. You're like, I swear to God, I don't wet the bed. I know I'm 7. Can you please listen to me?
And why did it smell like pee? It became super fucking successful. And they opened a second location and they got super fucking rich. They buy a huge Tudor house in upscale Westfield district called it's called Fox Hollow Farms. They have a fucking, you live in a place with a name.
Oh, we got rich people here. Yeah.
You guys, mug them after the show.
Beers on.
Raise your hand. I
can't say that.
You didn't say that? I said that. Don't do it.
Please don't mug people as a joke.
Fox Hollow Farms, 18 and a half acres.
Ooh.
And an indoor pool, which is depresses me so much.
It smells so much like chlorine in that pool.
They always, it just makes me think of like your divorced dad who's like spending all his money before your mom can get it. It's just like, so he has an indoor pool.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't.
Kids, it's snowing. Get in there.
Yeah. And you're like, but I can't, but I don't want to do laps. Okay. Then in the 1990s, gay men in the Indianapolis area start to disappear. Authorities, of course, blamed it on their lifestyle, and they were like, they ran away to the big city, you know, to like, so we wouldn't like make fun of them. So that's where they went. And all the men were of similar age, height, and weight. But Virgil Vandegrift, who's like a fucking the hero of the story, needs to be played by like Harrison Ford or some shit.
He is kind of a Vandegrift-y type.
Vandegrift.
It's Virgil. Me, Virgil Vandegrift.
Virgil.
Look at my earring.
He has an earring.
I hate that earring.
They just call him Griff. Griffy. Anyways, he's a retired, successful private investigator, which is fucking awesome. And he's approached by the mother of 28-year-old Alan Broussard to ask for help finding her missing son. And Virgil starts to put the pieces together. Alan was part of the local gay scene and was last seen leaving a bar called Brothers. Well, in after party there. Where
it seems like Brothers, something's going on at Brothers. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of don't want to know. It would take too long for an audience to tell us a story.
Yeah.
But
let's have our bachelorette party at Brothers, right? That's
yeah.
where you.
Or it burned down and people are upset. We won't know.
Okay. Well, investigating Alan's disappearance, Vandegrift stumbles upon the case of Jeff Jones, who disappeared in mid-93, a year earlier, vanishing from the streets of Indianapolis. The last disappearance, which caused Vandegrift to link all the cases and convince him that Indianapolis has a serial killer, was when he was confronted by a man named Tony Harris. I think that's not his real name, though, because he was like, I don't want to be a part of this. He tells Vandegrift that his friend Roger Allen Goodlett, 34, had left a gay bar called Our Place with a man calling himself Brian Smart, and he hadn't been seen since. So Tony is convinced that Brian Smart had killed his friend, but when police brush him off, he takes matters into his own hands.
Oh, hell yeah. Chuck Norris style.
Fuck yeah. Played by Chuck Norris.
We've done it.
We're casting this thing.
we're doing several jobs at once.
Steven, write those names down. When Tony next sees Brian Smart at a gay bar, he tricks Smart into taking him home with him.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going undercover like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not a good idea, though.
I know. But it's pretty badass.
It's insanely badass.
Yeah.
Don't,
only because he survived, and otherwise
yeah,
it wouldn't be
an intense tragedy.
Yeah.
Okay. We all understand.
We got that. Smart invites Tony back to his house for a cocktail and a swim. When they get to Brian Smart's house, a large Tudor mansion, they go for a swim in the indoor pool.
Ooh.
And eventually things get weirder when Smart says, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Indoor pool is weird enough.
Weird.
I just learned that. So Brian Smart says, I just learned this really great trick. If you choke someone while you're having sex, it feels really great. That's not a trick.
You're like, we were just talking about baseball. What the fuck? What are you doing?
Yeah, I thought you were going to show me some magic. But yeah. This is not a magic trick. This is creepy. And he says, if you choke some, you really get a great rush, he says. Okay, sounds fun. Brian shows Tony how to pinch the carotid arteries and says, it's such a great buzz. You should see how someone looks when you're doing it to them. Their lips change colors, and that's how you can tell it's working. And you're like, cool, let's make out. Like, who the fuck would...
Yeah. I just want to know you more now.
Yeah, yeah. So Tony allows Smart to demonstrate on him. Tony had a death wish.
Tony... Wait, Tony, but Tony's not the private investigator, right?
No, Tony's the dude whose
Tony's
friend left
friend.
A gay bar yeah. with a dude. And
he's just like, I'm going to do this myself.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It's a lot of bad ideas on yeah. top of bad ideas.
Yeah. Tony, maybe he thought he could find, okay, go ahead. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, it's good. That's the point of this whole podcast.
Oh, right, that's right.
So he allows him to do it, but he pretends to be unconscious before he could pass out, which I always thought was a fake thing. Eventually, Tony convinces Smart to take him back into town. He like oh. It happens. He wakes back up. He's like, I'm good. And they're like, he's like, can you take me back to town? And he does.
And he's like, fine.
Yeah.
Because he didn't pass out sexy enough or something. Also, what I hate is I'm picturing all of it happening in an indoor pool, so it's all echoey.
Smelly, yeah.
It's like, smells like chemicals, and
ew.
It's like, now you pass out. Can
yeah.
you just, I gotta go.
A gross, moldy chaise lounge.
One of those signs that says, we don't swim in your toilet, please don't pee in our pool.
Or active diarrhea, if you have it, please don't come in our pool. Heard that? Have you seen that one?
Active diarrhea.
If you have had active diarrhea in the past 24 hours, we don't do shit jokes.
Yeah, but it's not who we are.
No.
There's also the one that's like, welcome to our ool. You might notice there's no pee in it. Let's keep it that way.
That's funny.
Signs from the 70s.
Love it. Da, 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 da. And then he convinces him to take him back to town. Tony brought this information to Vandegrift. I'm sure Tony left some shit out, probably, right?
Yeah.
That's like even worse than that. And he also told Vandegrift about how there were mannequins in the basement where Smart had his like bar hang area. What do they call them? Like a bachelor?
A murder area?
Yeah. Mannequins all dressed up in various poses, like hanging out.
I'm going to start crying. I don't like this at all.
Well, when Tony's like, what the fuck, Smart? He's like, I get lonely down here. They give me company. They give me company.
They give me company.
Do you know what I bet? I think he would bring home clothes from his thrift store. I bet he'd bring them back and someone in this audience is wearing them. One right now.
Can we bring the house lights up? Do you know how loud I would start screaming if we turned a corner? We're like, here's the mannequin room. I would just be like, ah! I mean, oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Especially if you looked like that fucking dude.
Yeah. Can we get the closer picture of
yeah.
Herb? Because that one's a
no,
real...
No, one more back.
By himself. Because he's got the eyes. He's got the eyes of a person that loves mannequins.
Nope.
They'll find it. There he is. I love mannequins. Don't you love mannequins?
Oh. Like,
they're just like people, but they don't talk.
Oh, Herb... Okay, so he brings this, all the info to the police. Virgil Vandegrift brings this info to the police, but the only person who would take him seriously was a detective named Mary Wilson. Who's played by her? Who's playing her?
Marsha Gay Harden probably is my first guess.
Great.
Because you're going to have, she's going to be a person that's going to be able to wear a good pantsuit. She's going to put her hand back like this and show her gun, but she might not. She's not going to brandish her gun. She's just going to be like, I've got a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Marsha Gay Harden for Dig you, it. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's perfect. So Mary, as it turns out, was investigating disappearances of other Indianapolis men as well. Those of 20-year-old Richard Hamilton, 21-year-old Johnny Bayer, and 28-year-old Alan Livingston, and others dating back to the early 90s, all gay men. While Tony couldn't remember where Smart's house was located.
Oh, Tony.
I know.
It's key information.
I know. He's like, I think it had the name Fox in it. Like, he really couldn't remember. And they even were like, what about this house that has an indoor pool? And he's like, I don't think it is. It was.
Tony. Okay, Tony was high as fuck.
Little coke, little fucking.
He's like, look, I had to blend in. It's just, I had to do what was everybody else was doing.
It's the early 90s. There's a lot of coke, probably.
I don't really remember an indoor pool or mannequins.
Let's see. He couldn't remember, but he is obsessively frequenting gay bars for the next year in hopes of spotting Smart again. He's like, I'm going to fix the fact that I can't remember this shit.
Well, yeah.
But he couldn't track him down a whole year almost. Then on the night of August 29th, 1995, Tony spots Smart in a gay bar, takes down his motherfucking license plate number.
Nice.
When Mary Wilson runs the plates, they belong to not anyone named Brian Smart, but to Herbert R. Baumeister of Westfield, Indiana. Did you guys catch on to that? Probably, right?
I did. I definitely did.
He lived in a state called blah, 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 blah with his wife and children. The manor house, Mary learned, had a swimming pool in the basement. Mary confronted Herb at his thrift store. She's like, I think you're a fucking murderer of gay men. And his thrift store is failing right now because of his increasingly erratic behavior.
With mannequins. You're like, Herb, we don't need that many mannequins in there.
It's just, you can't even walk through the aisles.
Yeah, it's nuts. You don't need shopping mannequins. We have shoppers for that.
Ooh, how creepy would that be if you turn a corner with your shopping cart and it's just like, mannequin with a shopping cart.
Ah! I wanted this Coors t-shirt. It's mine.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
No.
But he refuses to talk. They said they wanted to search his home, and they're like, he's like, talk to my lawyer. Don't talk to me again. But then they go to his wife, Julie, who also has, you know, reign over the property, and is like, hey, guess what? Your husband's, we think he's killing gay men around town. Can we search your property? And she's like, I can't deal with this right now. Get the fuck out of here. Nope, nope. She like noped it real hard.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
You gotta, right?
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, she's like, oh, fuck.
She's like, then, gonna go for a swim. I can't handle this right now.
Well, 6 months goes by and her brain is like, oh, like slowly catching up to the oh-fuckedness of it.
Yeah.
She remembers that a year earlier, her son had been playing in the wooded backyard, and he finds a half-buried, complete human skeleton.
What?
Hey, Mommy! Mommy! You look at Ava, Mommy!
Mommy, it's Halloween already!
Oh. And she's like, oh, shit. And she's like, honey, please tell me an excuse because I can't handle this.
Yeah.
And he told her that his father had been a doctor. She said he said it had been one of his dissecting skeletons, but he stored it in the garage and then buried it in the backyard after he decided to clean the garage. As you do.
And there was the slippers and brine, you know. It's like this all the time.
Well, this happens.
I thought you were going to say, and I feel like other people did too, like the son found like a human femur or just some one small thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not a half buried human motherfucking skeleton, no. All like Wes Craven presents in your backyard. It is so upsetting.
Yeah. That poor kid, man.
Oh, Jesus.
He's not having a good life. Or I hope he is.
Or.
He's living his best life.
That's right. He became Oprah Winfrey.
Love it. Love it. In addition, for several months at a time, she and the kids would get the fuck out of there and visit his mother, leaving Herb at home alone for like months at a time.
Makes sense.
Right. When you leave your husband for months and go to his mom's house because she's cooler to hang out with than your husband.
His mom's cooler than him.
Yeah.
That's your marriage.
Yeah. Great.
Bye.
And the timeline, she like put it together, and the timeline matched of when the guys were disappearing. So she was like, you know what? I'm going to file for divorce. And then she calls Mary and she's like, get the fuck over here now. He's out of town. So in June of 96, Mary, along with some skeptical officers who, of course, are like, they ran away to the big city, you know, still. No.
It simply must be so.
Yeah. Well, I don't look at evidence. I make it up.
Easy, easy.
Yeah. I thought you'd be like, easy. No. Easy peasy. Got it. They go to the property to search. They step out into the backyard, and they immediately encounter a bone about a foot long, charred from having been burned in the backyard, as well as fragments of bone strewn about, and even human teeth.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's from my uncle's dentist dental company that he used to, and he loved gardening, you know, so much.
We heard it helps the plants grow and keeps the bugs away.
You sprinkle teeth on petunias. Oh, the colors.
The state fair every year, I enter them.
It is nightmare. You walk out from an indoor pool into fucking the bone yard. Like,
crunch, crunch. What? The sheriffs are like, we don't think this is... Oh, fuck. And Mary's like, gun.
Yeah.
What did I tell ya?
I fucking told you so.
Uh-huh. After police thoroughly search the 18-acre estate, they turn up the remains of 11 men. Early in his investigation, Vandegrift, good old fucking reliable Vandegrift, he's going to be played by a hound dog, I think. You know what I mean? With a fucking...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Hat and coat?
Yes.
Yep.
McGruff.
Yeah.
He's McGruff.
That's right. He's halfway there. It's all there.
McGruff, Vandegrift. There we go.
So easy.
So he had made connections to the disappearances of gay men in Indianapolis between them and the strangling murders of gay men whose bodies were found dumped along the corridor of Interstate 70 in Indiana and Ohio between Indianapolis and Columbus. Is that right? Which had been dubbed the I-70 murders.
And it's Herb?
Well, here we go.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Thank you for listening. That's my story.
Good night.
The last known I-70 murder, 9 of them in all, had been committed in 1990, not long before the Indianapolis disappearances began. So Julie Baumeister told authorities that her husband made as many as 100 trips to Ohio, and on what he said was a business trip, you know, as you do it, you're in a thrift store fucking yeah. shopper.
You got to get that good Ohio thrift clothing.
Yeah.
Oh, so, right? You guys have all those grandma sweaters.
I mean, I would do it.
I would do it right now.
I would go right now. First, we go dig up the rest of your lady's farm. Then yes. we fucking go.
Then we go down to Sweaterland.
Yeah.
Or is it down? Don't know where I am.
That way.
Not sure where I am.
Is there barbecue on the way? We stop for barbecue on the way.
Good, good, good.
Great. Then, so 100 business trips, somebody said, of a store business. And in during the late 80s, his photo matched the police sketch drawn from witnesses who thought they had seen the I-70 strangler, which I think was a fucking sketch of it, because Steven's awesome.
Oh. Ooh. The one on the right is the scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz.
I don't know.
I'll miss you most of all, Scarecrow.
I don't know if it looks like him, but that guy's creepy.
Yeah. They were like, just can you give the worst eyes you've ever looked at? And then a weird pouty lip.
Uh-huh.
Trust me on this.
Uh-huh. Very, very light mustache.
And let's pluck those eyebrows a little bit.
Yeah. 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 So, he's officially later declared the I-70 killer.
Wow.
Yeah, so this guy, during the search of his property, Herb disappears. Do you know why I did that? And I feel like I knew I was going to do that at some point. Yep. It's because when I was a kid, I called Herbs, and my mom yelled at me for it.
So it's a triggering
issue.
So
now I see the word herb, and I'm like, don't fuck that up, but it's herb.
The
Jesus.
So many issues on the table tonight. You would
so many.
Never even, you wouldn't expect it.
We look so normal. And then really.
So they arrested Herb.
Herb. So he disappears from the place he's staying out of town when he finds out they're searching his property. He was at Lake Wawasee in Cochise County, where we'll be touring next. That's the one.
Okay.
Then he enters. What? Thank you. Then he enters.
Yes, now it's perfectly clear. Thank you.
I learned in Oregon not to repeat what's the name because I got it wrong again and everyone just yelled it louder.
Oh my God, that was so... Do you remember the name of that city?
Fuck no.
Yeah. It's tough.
It was hard though,
very difficult.
You guys. Okay, so he goes out of town and he goes into Canada on June 30th. He ends up in Grand Bend, Ontario. And there at Pinery Park on the evening of July 3rd, Herb writes a suicide note attributing his decision to kill himself to his failing business and irreparable marriage, but no, doesn't mention the skeletons or the dead men.
That's okay.
Nope, it's because his marriage sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His final words on the 3-page suicide note said that he would now eat a peanut butter sandwich, which was his favorite snack, and then go to sleep. He even apologized for messing up the park. Then he put a 375 Magnum... .375 Magnum? I don't know guns. Revolver barrel. I don't know percentages.
He put
guns.
375 guns into his mouth. Just to be sure.
But he didn't.
That's Herb.
Yeah. He puts it to his forehead. He pulls the trigger. His body is found 8 days later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got us. You know, it's some hikers going, what's that smell? It's always, what's that smell from hikers?
And what are all those flies doing over there?
Yeah. Yeah. The evening before he died, a Canadian trooper stopped him to ask him why he was sleeping in his car.
To ask him why the long face. I'm sorry.
Hey, why the peanut butter sandwich and the long face?
Quit messing up this park.
Before letting him go, she notices some luggage in the back and what looked like a pile of videotapes in his back seat. But when they find his car, no signs of the videotapes. They're never recovered. Police suspect he threw them into a river before he went and killed himself.
I hope so.
Virgil Vandegrift said, well, these videotapes of the murders he committed... Were these the videotapes of the murders he committed in the pool at Fox Hollow Farms? We'll never know. And perhaps it's for the best. But then...
You have to play Virgil Grandebra. Clearly.
Thank you. Okay, really quickly. Then, of course, I fucking looked in the email. Sorry, you guys, my allergies are, you know, the city. Okay. Hey, Georgia and Karen. I started your podcast months ago and been meaning to send you my hometown murder, but I'm so fucking forgetful and lazy I never got around to it until now.
Hey, hi.
I'm from a small city of Westfield, Indiana, and have lived here my whole life. My hometown murder starts when I was around 10, and I used to hang out with my friend about 6 out of the 7 days of a week for the summers I lived there, something. I was thrilled to find out that they moved to a beautiful farmhouse about a mile away from where I lived.
No, 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 no.
Oh, no, it's not.
Can we get the...
It's not that. It's not. It's okay. Totally that. It is. Trick you! Not only because this house was a hop, skip, and a jump away from my house. I love that. But it was fucking insane. They had acres of land where their newly purchased horses roamed a giant mansion and oddly rememberable indoor pool where we spent most of our time.
Oh, really? And what about the ghosts that were there with you?
Well... I never got a creepy or eerie feeling about the house until I was older and started noticing odd things, such as the secret room behind my friend's bathroom mirror.
Say it again. Say it again. What's this you say?
I never got a creepy or eerie feeling about the house until I was older and started noticing odd things about the secret room behind my friend's bathroom mirror.
Oh, room behind a mirror? Ugh, and then you go into the room face first through a mirror?
It just said murder room. Face first into him. Or maybe the fact that we found, quote, animal bones in the backyard.
Oh no.
Our parents freaked out a little more than I thought they would. But it wasn't until I was watching a local network when I found out that the very house my friend lived in, Fox Hollow Farms, was previously owned by a serial killer. My parents obviously knew, but kept it from me because of my age. Apparently, and then she says, killed them in the indoor swimming pool. I didn't realize. Don't worry, it doesn't stop there. He continued to burn them in the fireplace and buried them in the backyard. So he burned them in his fireplace, which I didn't find that info anywhere else. It's a pretty interesting story if you guys ever have time to read it. Which I know you won't. It says that.
So negative.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have. Love the podcast. If you're ever in Indianapolis, maybe we can take a tour of the farm. SSDGM, Maddie. That's Herb Baumeister. Way to go, Indianapolis.
I mean, that is... There is a ghost hunters or a haunting. There's an episode of one of those shows, and that's the first time I heard of this story.
Yeah.
And it is such a bummer because everything else is bad. Real time, how it happened, the fact that it was like just a marginalized group of people who were like, oh, it's not a problem that these men are disappearing. Yeah. All those things. The fact that people, you know, these murderers get away with killing people.
And then he gets to just kill himself and never have to deal with any of it.
Never talk about
it. Frustrating.
Then mannequins, indoor pools, as we've talked about.
Behind the mirror rooms.
Then on top of it, ghosts.
Yeah.
Then you fucking fold some ghost feelings inside there.
I want to thank this fucking town because sometimes we'll go to a city and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've done every Chicago murder. I don't know what else to do. At this town, I was like, oh my God, this is, oh man. Like, it felt like a gift that was given to me.
I get to tell everybody about Herb.
Yeah.
Thank you,
so
Indianapolis.
Good. So that was amazing.
It was so good.
Yeah. Thank you. I didn't mean like that was amazing, Georgia. I just said
even if you don't clap, we're gonna be like that was fucking incredible and standing ovation worthy.
Can I show you Georgia font?
Let's see it. Oh, that is gorgeous.
Thank you.
It's so clear.
Thank you. So not convoluted like I am.
What was in the room behind the mirror, and why wouldn't you just put a secret door instead of, how do you get into a room that's behind a mirror? Is there another door besides the mirror?
Yeah.
Like a full-length fucking mirror in a different room? Does it have to be mirrors? Are you a warlock of some kind? Is there anyone that knows the answers?
Yeah. Who built that mirror for him? Did they come over and like, sure.
Yeah.
He was like, it's for my mannequin. It's my mannequin room.
My mannequin asked if he could have a secret room behind the mirror. And I was like, you know what? It's your birthday. Yes, you get that.
And the builder's like, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds
great.
Legit.
Great.
Let's do it.
Here's my bill. Everything's cool. You get to live your life.
Do you think that we have time?
Yes. And the cool part. And this is honor system. We've got a story. You tweeted at us today or yesterday, and I need to hear the story about the girl who dressed up in her murdered cousin's clothes. That's coming out wrong. Someone put her into
the
clothes.
Wait, did the girl that's about to come up here dress in her murder?
Let's let her explain it.
I see her there.
Okay.
Come around this way. Come around this way and then army crawl, which has happened. Let's bring out our hometown ladies.
Where are you? Thank you. Oh, hi.
Thank you.
Hi, what's your name?
You probably don't need it. Taylor.
Taylor?
Okay, we don't need all that.
And I'm Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
We don't need it. No.
Do you guys want to get up on this like backup singers?
Yeah.
Fun.
Here, we can just...
Taylor and Rebecca, explain that tweet so that people understand. What's your name?
Noah.
Let's give it up for Noah.
And this is Noah making it all happen for us. Sound-wise, thank you.
Here, talk in it.
Thanks, Noah.
Thank you.
Okay, well, this doesn't work.
Use it anyway. Show business. Right.
So I sent the tweet out, but it's her story.
Oh, get out of here.
Okay.
It had to be told. It's too creepy and weird.
Are you guys related?
No. We work together.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I actually sent this in as an email, and I was telling Becca about it, and she was like, no, you have to...
Yes.
I have to tell this story.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
This actually happened before I was born. My mom was actually pregnant with me, and I'm from one of those families in like southern Indiana who has like all of these cousins. They're not actually cousins. They're just like through marriage or like your parents are really close friends or whatever.
Yeah.
It's easier to say that.
We have that in California too. It's called having friends. Okay.
So I called them my cousins, but at the time there was Jamie, who was like 4, and Sherry Lynn, who was about a year and a half old, and their parents had just gotten divorced. Their dad was in the Navy, and he was stationed in Pearl Harbor, and he got custody of the kids after the divorce, whatever, whatever. Took the kids off to Pearl Harbor, and one day he was like, Sherry Lynn's missing. She's gone. And
is she the older one or the younger one?
She's the younger one. Okay. She's like a year and a half old.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And she's like, she's gone. I don't know what happened. I went out. I met this woman. I brought her back. And then I just noticed that she was gone. So like 2 days later,
sounds legit.
Happened to notice that my children weren't there anymore.
Yeah.
So 2 days later, they found a body in Pearl Harbor in a duffel bag.
Oh.
That was just like floating along, you know, Hawaii. And Sherry Lynn is inside. Oh. And so he claims that he doesn't know what's happened. And then this woman comes forward and she was like, I was the woman he took home that night. She wouldn't stop crying. And he was like, oh, just ignore the baby. This is fine. We can, you know, like still have our time together.
Yeah, let's still make out over the crying baby.
Right, yeah, yeah. And she was like, no, this is like really fucking weird, man. I don't want to like kiss you while your baby's crying. And so she left.
And
like a normal person.
Yeah.
So what eventually happened is that he got really mad and strangled the baby and was like, I don't know what to do with this body, so let's just like put it in like a national monument. No one's gonna find it.
That's right.
And so it was actually kind of the same thing. Like he was acquitted with like a regular jury, but then like the Navy, remember? I don't know what story that
NCIS.
Was.
NCIS.
Yes. Don't remember. Yeah, NCIS, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Mark Harmon doesn't fuck around with stuff like that. He'll come after your ass.
So he went to jail and they're doing this investigation. My mom was like 9 and 10,000 months pregnant with me at the time. And the FBI like bursts into her work and is like, what do you know about this? And she's like, I'm just a little pregnant woman. I have no clue what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Oh, that old story.
Yeah, yeah, so he ends up going to jail for like 15 years. And when he gets out, the first thing he does is he comes back to Indiana and he visits the grave. And I had like family members who were there at the time, and he just like awkwardly walked up and was like, hey guys, like,
oh, cool, you're okay. Like, can you GTR out of here?
Yeah, like, this is really awkward. And then he's never been seen again. Like, we've never seen him again. But I had an aunt who kept all of her clothes. And every year when I had, like, my pictures at, like, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Oh, my God.
They put me in her clothes until I was, like, too big anymore.
Why? Who would do that and why?
They just get to this age and they're gonna have to buy their own clothes now. Right. You're like, why?
Because she also looks like her.
Oh, no, girl.
So there's a set of, like, 2 pictures where you can't really tell who's who because we're in the same clothes.
It's like a V.C. Andrews novel. What the fuck?
Wow, that's fucked up shit. Yeah, I wish we could put a photo up right now.
I know. I wish. I tried to find one, and I emailed my mom yesterday, and she was like, yeah, dude, we don't look at those. Yeah. Like, those are scary.
Oh, your mom's like, dude.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
As most of our family does.
Yeah, my family's pretty messed up.
Wow, that's a good one. Yeah. Dude, that's
they all are.
Taylor, you guys,
Thank you so much.
Well done. Good job.
That
very
was awesome.
Good.
You guys did great.
Yes, good job.
Thank you.
Did you bring a little bag?
Yeah. From the dollar store.
Oh!
It's shared on the Facebook page, but the little bags from the dollar store.
Oh, shit.
That say, like, top secret official report, and it talks about a fake arson.
It's like an evidence bag.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
It looks super cute.
What's inside?
What's my pledge for the night? So I have tissues and bobby pins.
Can I have a tissue?
And lotion
Karen,
and
get
my
me a
tickets.
Tissue.
Can,
yeah, Georgia needs those. Thank you so much.
You can have one.
Awesome. Just
thank
one?
You.
Oh, okay. Do you have any gum or anything? Oh, yeah, I'll take that whole pack. Bye.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank
Good
you
job. Thank you so much.
I'm not not a hugger.
Yeah. Too bad I don't have pockies. Yeah. Next time, next time.
That was perfect.
You guys, that was so awesome. Thank you so much. Yay.
That was good.
See, we can make mistakes and then we can make good on them.
And we can steal gum and tissues.
We can steal gum and we can have what we want and let people tell the worst story of all time.
And that's what this is all about, that's us getting what we want.
That's right. That's over true. And over in the most horrible way. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here tonight.
Thank you, guys. Indianapolis, we love you.
This has been really so awesome. Good. What a great show. Yeah. What an awesome audience.
Really.
We would love it if you would stay sexy.
And don't get murdered!
Bye, you guys.